58 is where we'll be at today as we continue through Psalms. I'm not sure if we're going to spend the next 2.5 years working our way through Psalms. Of course, when we get to Psalm 119, that'll be 2 or 3 months probably on that chapter. We might take some breaks in between there, but I did want to go ahead and take Psalm 58 this week. You can see the title up there, When Leaders / Authorities Are Corrupt. That never happens, does it? Well, we're not going to get into a political debate here this morning, because this morning's about God. And we'll leave politics out there. When we come in these walls, we need to be focused on God. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would just help me this morning to share your truth. It is your truth that changes hearts. It is only changed hearts that changes lives. So God, that's my desire. That's my focus. God, don't let me say things this morning that are going to distract from your truth, but use me to present your truth in a way this morning that all of us in here can receive it, digest it, apply it, and then not just be hearers of the word, but to go and be a doer of the word, and thereby giving you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, we find this verse. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For that, what does it say? All have sinned. Folks, as long as we are here, as long as we are in this world, sin is present. It's always going to be that way. And it's not those sinners out there, okay? God could, while we're in here this morning, God could, I don't think he would, but he could just wipe out the entire human population except us. And that would be a perfect place out there until we dismissed. You realize that? As soon as we walked out those doors, we would have polluted the world with sin again, because all men have sinned. We can see it in our own lives, can't we? It's probably not as clear in our own lives as it is in other people's lives, right? We see it more often in other people than we do ourselves. But we can especially see it in the lives of those that are in power or authority positions, okay? And it's not just politicians. It's just corrupt authority. Now, let's understand something. And I started off with Romans 5:12 to hopefully put us in the right perspective on this. All have sinned, okay? If we were in authority, we would be corrupt, because we're sinners, or at least the aptitude to be corrupt is within us. So now I say it, set it up that way, because I don't want us to sit here on our saved Christian Baptist high horse and talk about those corrupt politicians. Okay, they are corrupt, many of them, and so are we, because of our sin nature. Here's a quote you maybe have heard before. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. History testifies to the truth of that statement I believe it was an English historian, and he was in fact a politician, Lord John Acton, who first made that quote. Now, while many leaders are fair, honest, honorable, corrupt officials can be found at every level of government or every level of authority all across the face of the earth. They're there, okay? Now, this was certainly true during the time of David, and in fact, David's youth. Israel was led by King Saul, a rebellious, self-willed ruler. It was all about him. David became a victim of Saul's injustices after kind of stepping up to face Goliath. After that, it all went downhill for David, so to speak. David was falsely accused of crimes against Israel that he was innocent of. And Saul became determined to take David's life. Now, as a result, what did David do? He ran, didn't he? He was on a run for something like 7 to 12 years. He was on the run for his life. There were men that supported David that were with him. So it wasn't just David. There was a large group of men, and there are some accounts that their families were with them too. Now, if someone's trying to kill me, okay, I don't want this half of the building coming along with me with all of your spouses and children and dogs and bikes and all that sort of stuff. It's going to be a lot harder for me to hide if y'all are following me around, right? But yet, this was the case. By the way, these men, okay, they were supporters, but they were also fighters. They were willing to lay down their lives to protect him. It's kind of nice, though, when you think about that. David knew these men had his back. And no doubt there was some encouragement that came from that. But they were also treated unjustly by their government. That's what we'll just refer to it as this morning. And just like David, folks, we all want a perfect, righteous government. Oh, if we could just get our guy into office, everything would be better, wouldn't it? If we could just get our guy on the school board or the city council, if we could just get our guy in whatever place it is that we don't like the authority of, everything is just going to be perfect. But because of sin, man's best efforts to govern justly, they're going to fall short. Psalm 58 speaks of a future time when Christ will rule the earth. But until that time, this psalm gives us assurance to all who are persecuted by ungodly leaders that God will avenge their suffering and judge their oppressors. And many times, I think, here in America, depending on what you're reading or what site you're at, Christians talk about, oh, the persecution we're facing here in America. Folks, we have it so good here in America. It is not ideal, but none of you had to sneak behind trees to come to church today so that no one would kill you. Okay? When you got saved and baptized, you didn't have to worry about going home and your family beating you and kicking you out because you went against their faith. We have it good here. Could things get worse? Yes. Will they? Yes. This is a prime time for us as Christians to start building our faith in God and not relying on some piece of paper we call the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Forget the amendments, because they don't mean anything in the hands of corrupt rulers, okay? As we're starting to see those rights being chipped away. What's the song that our choir has sung before? My hope is Jesus, not the Constitution, not the guy in the White House, not the guy that's the mayor or anything like that. Our hope is Jesus. That's where the assurance needs to come from. And this psalm tells us of a future time when Jesus will be ruling on this earth. So what do we need to do in the meantime? We're here, aren't we? We're stuck. This is the extended mission trip that we're all stuck on. First of all, we need to be aware. We do not need to stick our heads in the sand and pretend that nothing exists. We need to be aware. Just like us, David was well aware that those in authority were corrupt. So what did he do? He boldly rebuked them. There's been some messages that I've preached in the past, not about a particular topic. I very seldom will do a topical message, but there will be a truth in the passage that I'm handling that I'll really apply that truth hard to something going on in our culture today. And once in a while, people have said, oh boy, you're going to get people riled up, like people outside the church. So what should we do as Christians? We better not say anything. I mean, some people would be more comfortable if when we do talk about cultural issues, we just kill the live streaming and just say it to each other's ears. But we need to boldly rebuke those in authority that are not violating our rights, because our rights come from Jesus. Those that are violating God's truth. God did not put us here as ambassadors of ourselves to protect our rights. God put us here as his ambassadors to preach his message and advance his kingdom. Remember, we're just here on a mission trip. Okay, imagine being on a mission trip in another country and those corrupt rulers, officials are harassing you and they're going to arrest you and throw you in a dark, dank dungeon with no legal representation and leave you there in the Tower of London or something like that for 5 years. And what are you going to say? No, I have my rights under the Geneva Convention. We're not here to lift up our rights. We're here to promote God's kingdom and boldly proclaim his truths. Just like us, David was aware, corrupt officials. He rebuked them. It is believed that David is addressing Israel's corrupt officials in this psalm here. Psalm 58, let's begin reading. Verse 1, do ye indeed speak righteousness, addressing the officials, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. So he confronted the leaders about their perversion of righteousness and justice. America was known at one time a Christian nation. Maybe it's still referred to that way now, but they have been perverting righteousness, have they not? And we see that so much more clearly now. And the perversion ball seems to be rolling faster and faster today than it did, say, 40 years ago. When in verse 2, he states the officials, their works were the poisonous fruit. I'm sorry, he goes on there in verse 3, rather, the poisonous fruit of their corrupt hearts. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Do you recall that verse? The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Okay. Their works are just a result of their hearts. Now, their hearts are deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? But Jeremiah doesn't say their hearts. The heart, our hearts, are capable of those same works. Let me just throw a shameless plug here for Wednesday nights. We've started studying apologetics. That is just knowing where we stand, why we believe certain things. So when we hear the counterculture's messages, we know, no, this is wrong. This is not what God's word says. So that we don't get sucked into their way of thinking. He goes on to describe why the corrupt officials are doing what they do. Look with me in verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear. which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. They are perverted by nature, these corrupt officials. They are the way they are because of their sin nature. It's not a special interest group that got a hold of them. It's not the money. It's not the power or the authority. They have a sin nature, which we all have as well. They have been sinners since they were born. Verse 3, they were estranged from the womb. Okay. As soon as they were born, David says they started going astray as soon as they were born. Yes, those cute little babies have already started going astray. Oh, not my little child. Okay, I just looked to make sure Anna wasn't in here. Whew. Okay, you just wait till that little cutie says no. Mm-hmm. Where did that come from, right, David? Yeah, you can say, well, he got it from her side of the family, right? These officials, these rulers, those in authority, it's because of their sin nature. Folks, lying is natural. To say, yeah, they're a politician, lying is natural. It's natural for all mankind because we have the sin nature. How many of you have ever had to try to lie? I just can't help but tell the truth all the time. I wish I could lie. We never have that problem. Being in office did not make those officials liars. Even worse, what they did, they twisted the laws to accommodate their sin and to accomplish their unrighteous purposes, as David's describing them. Sounds like he's describing officials today. David compares them to snakes. With every lie, they spread more of their poison. There in verse 4, he talks about that. And then, well, look again at verse 4. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder, a snake that can't hear, that stoppeth her ear. This refers to their, okay, I know this is going to sound like I'm just, David wrote this yesterday, okay? This is referring to their arrogant refusal to listen to correction. Does that sound familiar? They won't listen to reason. Well, I think this person can decide to be that person, or this person could get married to this animal, and it's all the same thing. Wait a minute. Let's use some common sense here. Biology, science speaks truth. No. They don't even want to listen. They have stopped their ears. This is what David is talking about here. They had their ears blocked to all other messages, specifically God and his instructions. There are people today in our culture, in authority, they'll have debates. They'll look forward to debates to pummel the other person into the ground. But don't you dare bring God into the debate. They will shut it down right there. Government officials, they have the responsibility and the duties that they have because they were delegated to them by God. Let's not forget that. The Electoral College, the voters, did not give them that authority. God did. God tells us he did. And because God gave them that authority, this is meant to be a comfort to us, okay? God will require much of those who occupy positions of leadership. He gave them something that not everyone has, authority. And with that comes responsibilities. Psalm chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." 2 Samuel 23, it says, "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." In Leviticus, again, it says, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. These are just a few of the verses that God has for those that occupy leadership positions. These are God's expectations of those in authority. We don't have to hold them accountable in a sense. God is going to. However, in every segment of society, injustices do exist, don't they? Ungodly people, they lead cities, states, nations, businesses, schools, and even churches. And most of us, at some point in time, have been victims of injustice. But just as David cried out against Israel's corrupt officials, we should oppose corruption whenever and wherever possible. We need to speak up against it. Several years ago, I think it was not quite several years ago, because Pastor Taylor was here, right after he came, just before COVID, our community was considering allowing the sale of marijuana in our community. And the only discussion of it was the money we're going to make, and we'll use it to dredge the lake. Okay, that's a definite need in our community, whether it is or isn't, but that's what was going on at the time. That was the discussion. And it was brought up. We had a large number of people there at one of the meetings, and they ended up not doing anything with it. And then, I guess this was a good thing, COVID started and shut everything down. Prior to that, our city wanted to allow alcohol at the family-friendly Chili Fest. And we were there. Some of us were there at that meeting. And I remember clearly, one of them had said, well, this has been out there, and I've not received any calls against it. Wow. It's just us minding our own business. We need to be boldly speaking against that is wrong in our areas of influence. We should always take a stand against evil. God has commanded us to resist wickedness and do all that we can to stop it. And we need to do all that we can as well to rescue victims of unfair and cruel treatment. Psalm 82, verse 3, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Because we may be enjoying peace and tranquility here in the Midwest and here in quasi-conservative Christian County, we should not ignore those that are facing injustices right now. Scripture is clear. Psalm 82:3, God will judge us if we ignore the needs of those who are mistreated. He commands us to not ignore them in this verse here. But if we stand up for them and attempt to help them, God will bless us. Now, that's a good thing. Here's the verse, Proverbs 28:27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. All right, so that's what we do first. We be aware, know what's going on, speak truth against the injustices. But then here's what David did next. He prayed for justice. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time unpacking the poetic picture that he's presenting here, okay? It may sound like I'm advocating literal steps to be taken. You'll understand what I mean when we start looking at the verses, okay? Keep in mind, this is not poetry. Pastor McPhillips is not advocating that we go out and break the teeth of our governmental rulers, because that's what it starts off with there in verse 6. This is poetry, folks, okay? And he's also talking to God. He's praying. The problem, folks, is not the person in office. We've got to get past the person in office. The problem is not a political party. The problem is not a person. The problem is sin natures. And the only way for justice to be restored to the land, as David is praying here, was for God to remove Israel's officials. So David prayed for God to judge them swiftly and completely. Here's how. He asked God to stop the unjust. Look with me at verse 6. He says, "Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth." Break out. This is just poetic license here that David's taking, okay? And he's talking to God, not us. "Break their teeth, O God, in their mouths. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces, as a snail which melteth. Let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun." So there's three verses, three different things going on there. Now, I don't know that God reads and takes his requests from social media or not, but I do know that God hears the prayers of his saints. Folks, if we're frustrated with our authorities, instead of taking to the digital airwaves with them, we need to take them to God. God listens to those requests. Like I said, I don't know if he peruses Facebook to get new requests, but he does listen to the prayers of saints. So what did David do? He prayed. In every psalm, I think, that we've looked at so far, David prayed, "Go to God." He asked God to forcefully stop Israel's leaders. Stop their mouths. Stop them from speaking. That's the meaning behind verse number 6. And then in verse 7, he's asking them to make their weapons useless. The laws that are passed in their favor to hurt us, make those laws useless, God. This bill that's up for vote right now, this bill that just got passed, God, make it useless. Well, it's already been passed. Oh, sorry, God, you missed this one. No, God can still do anything, folks. He can make these things useless. David, that's what David is praying for. That's what we need to be praying for. Their words, their rhetoric, their laws, he asked God to just make them useless, of none effect. Now, what good will that do? Certainly, that's a question we ask a lot in this political age. What good is this going to do anyway? Well, let's read verse 9. "Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with the whirlwind, both living and in his wrath." Now, I want you to notice what David said here. He changed how he spoke. 6, 7, and 8, he's asking God, do this, stop their mouths, make their actions of none effect. And then in verse 9, he's speaking as though God has already done it. "He shall take them away as with the whirlwind, both living and in his wrath." He spoke what God will do. He voiced his confidence. All he did was pray. All God's asking us to do right now is pray for those in authority. Yeah, what good is that going to do? Where's our confidence? In God, right? David is telling us what God is going to do. He voiced his confidence that God would intervene. Folks, that's what we call faith. That is being a person of faith. A person of faith is not someone that says, I have faith. A person of faith is someone who can speak with a voice of confidence when the circumstances don't back it up. There are many situations where we are powerless to fight the machine, so to speak. Folks, we need our jobs to survive, don't we? Don't you? So we need to be careful about speaking out against unfair treatment at work, let's say. You do need to be careful about that. Before I leave that, we have the Bill of Rights, the right to free speech. I can say what I want, where I want, whenever I want to. Well, yes, you can. But I would ask you to keep this in mind. When you go to work for someone, they pay you to work for them. They pay you for your time. That time belongs to them. And what you do with that time belongs to them. You surrendered that right when you agreed to take that money for that time. You sold that time to them. So you need to be careful how we approach what we do while we're at work. When we are helpless to correct the wrongs, we can pray. Now, what was your feeling when I said that? What good will that do? Be careful. Scripture actually commands us to pray for those in authority. It's not something that's a good idea, and maybe God will answer our prayer and change it. God commands us to pray for those in authority. And our first prayer for corrupt officials should be what they need most, salvation. Corrupt officials, you maybe can't stand them. You can't stand what they're doing. You can't stand what they stand for. I mean, it just sickens you what they're doing to our country, to our Bill of Rights. Remember, they were created in the image of God, just like us. God loves them, just like us. Christ died for them, just like us. God weeps for them. And it is God's will for them to repent and be saved, just like us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said this to Timothy, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Now keep in mind, this was written during the Roman Empire. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. When God looks at what we do when it comes to authority, how we speak about them, where we broadcast our thoughts about them, and how we do it, God looks on everything, and when we pray for them, He looks on that as saying, yeah, that's good. I like that. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So we pray for them. Also, we need to remind ourselves that those who treat others unfairly, they are a reproach to God. That's a bad place to be. Proverbs 22, verse 22, it says, "Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them." Remember, the oppressed are created in the image of God too. He loves them. He cares about them. So we not only have a duty to intercede for the abused, but we should also be compelled to call on God to deliver them as well. So how often do we pray for our persecuted brethren around the world? I don't do it often enough. Some of you have probably heard of the magazine Voice of the Martyrs. I get that, I think it's like once a month. When I get that, I read through accounts of Christians in other countries. Many times their pictures, their faces are blackened out to protect them. Their names are changed, describing what they go through on a daily basis. It's inspiring to see how they are so committed to God. They don't not go to church because they might get killed. They're there. In fact, they're not just going to church. They're reaching out to expand the kingdom of God in spite of the risks. So it's inspiring in that way. But also it reminds me, wow, we need to pray. I need to pray for them, that God would protect them. Prayer, folks, the prayer of faith, it is powerful and effective as well. James 5:16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Of this we can be confident. And then we come to the end of this psalm. Remember, folks, this world is not our home, right? We're here temporarily. We're on that mission trip. As we go on to the last two verses, we see that the righteous will be vindicated and rewarded. It's kind of like going through a football game and you're just getting your clock cleaned, okay? You're just getting beat up, knocked down, and if you don't get back up, they pick you back up just so they can knock you back down again, okay? I mean, it is bad. And you just don't know when the game is going to end because someone broke the clock. But you know it's going to end. And you know, in the end, we win. Amen. We win, folks. We win. How can we get disheartened about the state of affairs today when we know we win? Sometimes we think as we get older, okay, boy, I can't imagine what this world's going to be like for my kids. And now my grandkids, who are 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I think that's their ages right now. Crazy. And you can get to worrying about that. When I think about my grandchildren and the pressure that's, they may not even have the Bill of Rights as we know it today. But then, they may not even be here, because we may be all in heaven by that time, right? Hallelujah for that. But if we're not, and I'm gone, and my grandkids are trying to, hopefully they've been instilled with the tools from God's word to be godly people in a very dark place. If I'm gone and they're still here, they're just on a mission trip too. And they're not going to be here forever. And God will still be on the throne, never leaving nor forsaking them. And he's always going to be there. His grace and mercies are new every morning to sustain them. folks, the righteous will be vindicated and we will be rewarded. Look with me at these last two verses. Verse 10, the righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, referring to Christ the conqueror, okay? And the picture there is interesting. It's kind of graphic and gruesome, if you really picture it with graphic detail, but a battlefield where a whole host has been slaughtered and the conqueror is walking through the host, that field that is drenched with the blood of the conquered. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Verse 11, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. And God is reminding us of the day of his judgment. The game clock has been torn down. We don't know when, but it is coming. Verse 10 tells us that we will rejoice when God's judgment comes. If your guy got elected to office, there would be some rejoicing. Yes! For maybe about 4 weeks, and then he makes a dumb decision that you don't like, right? When God's judgment comes, it's complete, it's final, he's the winner. And it tells us that we will be rewarded, not for enduring, just making it through. No. We'll be rewarded for our faithfulness to God's laws. Those that are martyred in other countries of the world today, they will be rewarded because they were faithful to God's laws. They didn't stop being Christians. They didn't stop proclaiming truth. They didn't pull back and hide and not do or say anything to draw attention to themselves. They were faithful to God's laws regardless of the circumstances or the threats or dangers. The faithful will be rewarded. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In fact, verse 11says that people will actually praise God and righteousness because of our own faithfulness, other people will acknowledge God. Look, as long as we're here and the mission trip's not over, we might as well be faithful. Whatever's going on in culture, everyone else is responding a certain way to it. But not Christians. We're stepping up. We're standing up, trusting God, being faithful. Other people say, wow, they really do believe in their God as a big God that can protect them and love them. They really believe in what they say they believe in. That makes a difference. Then our light is not back here with the crowd being hid by a bucket. A bushel. We're taking that off and we're going to stand up and lead the way. Other people will acknowledge God as God. We will encounter injustices in our life. We'll hear of people being persecuted. But these things should never depress, discourage, worry, or defeat us. Instead, we should do everything we can to stand against evildoers. And yet, when all is said and done, we have to commit it all to God and his plan and his timetable. If we are faithful to him, God's word says he will vindicate us. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's a vindication, there's a reaping, there's a reward if we don't faint. So we rest in the Lord, patiently waiting with faith for the day when he will judge all ungodliness. Folks, that day is coming. Revelation 20 and verse 12, it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Every single injustice that takes place today that we see, whether internationally, nationally, locally, whatever it is, it's being recorded in a book, so to speak. And they will be judged for their works. He's keeping careful records. And in his day of judgment, God will do what is right. So, Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. That's why we don't cower. That's why David boldly proclaimed. That's why Christians around the world in different places are standing out there in the open. They're not casting away their confidence. If we don't, there's a great recompense of reward waiting for us. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, God, we so need your help with this. Here in America, Lord, you know this. Living the Christian life has been so easy compared to other Christians. We're probably pretty soft when it comes to injustices. But they seem to be coming more and more. God, I pray that your truth today, your spirit, would encourage our spirit to just maintain our confidence in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We'll just take a moment. Talk to God about it. If